ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर 10 text 23, chapter entitled The Opulence of the Absolute. I'll read the Sanskrit translation and purport. Rudranam Sankaras Chasmi Vittesho Yaksharakshasam Vasunam Pavakas Chasmi Meru Sikharinamaham. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Of all the Rudras, I am Lord Shiva. Of the Yakshas and Rakshasas, I am the Lord of Wealth, Kuvera. Of the Vasus, I am Fire, Agni. And of Mountains, I am Meru. Purport. There are 11 Rudras of whom Sankara, Lord Shiva, is predominant. He is the incarnation of the Supreme Lord in charge of the mode of ignorance in the universe. The leader of the Yakshas and Rakshasas is Kuvera, the master treasurer of the demigods, and he is the representation of the Supreme Lord. Meru is a mountain famed for its rich natural resources. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swamini Tinamine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pasyatya Desitarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. So we'd like to welcome you all on behalf of Srila Prabhupada to this very auspicious occasion of Shivaratri. So, Vaishnava tradition is pretty cool. It's very open-minded, and also it's very all-inclusive. So I was going through the Vedic scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, like this. And the conclusion of these scriptures about Lord Shiva is that Lord Shiva is Vishnu, but is not Vishnu. It's called Achinta Beda Beda Tattva. Just like milk, Brahma Samhita compares Lord Shiva to be yogurt. And Vishnu is the milk. So, from milk comes yogurt, but never does from yogurt you get milk. So, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And to make it clear for those that are new, you may be confused, like what's going on here. Actually, Krishna consciousness is monotheistic. There is one Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there are many great personalities who has assist him in the universal affairs, and they're called devatas or demigods. So Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the source of everything. And he expands. First, Krishna expands as Balaram. And from Balaram comes the Chaturvyuha. Vasudev, Pradyumna, Sankarshan. Aniruddha like this. From this Chaturvyuha, Sankarshan, Lord Shiva manifests. So he's actually a very special personality. We're talking about this deity, Lord Shiva. And it's we celebrate this festival because in the Bhagavatam it says, Vaishnavanam Yata Sambhu, that Lord Shiva is the topmost devotee of Krishna. And in the material world, everybody wants to be the master of the master of the master. You know, will do anything, lie, cheat, you know, do whatever it takes to become the master. But in the spiritual world, the mood is that you're the servant of the servant of the servant. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna says, if you want to approach him directly, he's not happy, he does not recognize you. But if you approached him through his servants, the more you become the servant of the servant of the servant of his servants, then immediately you're recognized. It's a different kind of system. You've got to get used to it. So Lord Shiva, being the topmost devotee, we're celebrating Shivaratri. By celebrating Shivaratri, Krishna is pleased. And it's also explained, Lord Shiva is actually one of the Mahajans. Mahajans means great personality who lived such an exemplary lives that we, just by following in their footsteps, we can attain perfection. So it says that Swayambhu, Narada, Sambhu, Kumaro, Kapilo, Manu, Prahlada, Janaka, Bhishma, Bali, Vayasaki, Vayam, that Lord Shiva, Sambhu, is one of the Mahajans, is one of the great teachers. And also there is actually a whole sampradaya, disciplic succession coming down from Lord Shiva. It's called the Rudra Sampradaya. And the head of the sampradaya was Vishnu Swami. This was like about 4,500 years ago. And this is a disciplic succession that's coming from Shiva that teaches us how to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu or Krishna. So this is a very special personality, Lord Shiva. And he's also called Asutosh. Asutosh means the person who is easily pleased and easily angered. It doesn't take much to please him, and it also doesn't take much to anger him. He's actually, that's why he's called Asutosh. So by pleasing Lord Shiva, you know, he is willing to give us whatever we want. But the problem is, do we actually know what to ask him? That's the problem. Prahlad Maharaj said, Nate vidu swartha gatim hai Vishnu. The problem is, we don't even know what our real self-interest is. So we're celebrating Shivaratri in the temple, so we can come together and we can understand, we can find out what's the best thing to ask Lord Shiva after we please him with the festival. This is actually the purpose of the temples. Many times we come once a year or once a month, put a little donation in the hundi and go away. But that's not the purpose of the temple. The purpose of the temple is to come and hear so we can learn what's the goal of life. So it's very beautiful. All of us have taken our times to come here and hear about what's really pleasing to Lord Shiva. Otherwise, there's so many crazy things goes on in the name of religion, even in the name of Shivaratri. It's like growing up in South India. South India has a big following. Saivites, Lord Shiva's followers. And the tradition is, on Shivaratri, if you're awake all night, if you fast and you're awake all night, it's supposed to be that you get a lot of powers and blessings and strength. Believe it or not, you know what people do to be awake is these movie theaters, they're playing Bollywood movies for a real cheap price. you can pay, like when I was growing up, was 5 rupees and you get to see 5 movies in a row. So there's a huge queue outside the movie theaters, so people can get like these cheap movies, and the movie people are like making money. And they go in and they hear all kinds of nonsense and see all kinds of nonsense. And in the morning people think that they've done something special. And they've been up all night, their eyes are red and they don't go to work next day. And is this the way to please Shiva? It had nothing to do with Lord Shiva, it was actually the opposite. We are actually in the clutches of Shiva's wife, her name is Maya, Durga Devi. And if you're a little bit more pious on Shivaratri, you know, you're doing Abhishek, you're fasting, you're chanting Om Namah Shivaya. And this way, at the end, you ask for Lord Shiva's blessings, so you get a permanent job situation, or your son gets to go to the most prestigious school, or your daughter gets a good husband. This is the kind of prayers a little bit more refined people ask. And then, if you're like even higher, like, you know, if you're a Babaji or a sadhu, you're smoking like marijuana and drinking bong. You know, this is the time to get intoxicated. And then ultimately you want to ask for mukti or liberation. But according to Srimad Bhagavatam, this is all actually material desires. These are all actually distraction for the soul. Because according to the constitutional position of the soul has nothing to do either with like Bollywood movies or your wife or children or your job or even your mukti. Bhagavatam says this is actually kaitava dharma, or cheating process that encourages us to aspire for this thing. Because as long as we want something of this world, of this material world, we simply have to suffer. Because just like a slave is never happy. Because we all don't have experience, but we heard of what the slaves were treated like. They were whipped, they were bought, they were sold. They had never had any independence. Similarly, a person who is a slave of his material desires, he has no happiness. He's always been driven by these pushes and urges. In Bengali, there's a very beautiful poem that says, Bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali asanta, Krishna bhakta nishkama ate eva santa. The only person that's happy is a Krishna devotee, because he has no material desires. This is the secret for happiness. Like Prahlad Maharaj said, if you want to be happy, just stop trying to be happy. You will be happy. Because it's explained, this world is actually like a ocean, Bhava Sagara, the ocean of birth and death. So we're already drowning in the ocean, and imagine if you're drowning and somebody comes and gives you a very heavy, beautiful crown. It just pushes you further in. Similarly, anything we get from this world is actually just entangling us further. But all these universities and, you know, even our families and media, this is what they teach us. This is what they teach us. But Bhagavatam compares such a vision to the vision of an eagle or vulture. A vulture goes very up in the sky and then is given like 20/20 vision. He can see far down, but then he's only looking for like dead things to eat. He's given a special mystic power, but then he misuses it. Similarly, by pleasing a great personality, you will get the result, but we should know what to ask for. Otherwise, there is no difference. Like for example, in the Vedas talk about Ravana being a great devotee of Lord Shiva. Ravana acquired big mystic powers. And also the gopis, they worshipped Lord Shiva. But is there a difference between the gopis or the cowherd girls, devotees of Lord Krishna worshipping Lord Shiva and Ravana worshipping Shiva? There's a big difference. Because Ravana wanted all kinds of material powers so he can exploit and abuse. It says that Ravana wanted Sita, but he didn't want Ram. He wanted the goddess of fortune. He wanted Lakshmi without Narayan. So in one sense, everybody in this world are like, you know, miniature Ravanas and Hiranyakashipus. We approach, you know, Shiva for material benedictions. But what do we ask? So we're not against approaching Shiva for blessings, but we're against, you know, material desires. Gopis, they beg Shiva that Krishna can be their husband. So there's a completely different experience. So Lord Shiva is called Mahadev. He's actually extremely compassionate. His heart is always compassionate towards all the sufferings of the living entities. So much so, he even gives shelter to the ghosts and, you know, personalities like ghosts. And he gives them shelter. And he elevates them, elevates their consciousness. There's actually a very nice pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam that illustrates the mercy of Lord Shiva, the compassion of Lord Shiva. It's actually explained that the demons and the demigods, they were actually churning the ocean of milk. And they used a mountain, Mandara, as a churning rod, and this huge snake, Vasuki, as the rope. And they were churning. And it's explained that there's one thing that's common between a demigod and the demon, is that both of them want to enjoy their senses. The demigods want to enjoy their senses and the demons want to enjoy their senses. But the demigods want to enjoy in a religious way. A demon wants to do it without any rules and regulation. But the goal is common. So as they were churning, you know, striving for some nectar, what was amazing is they worked so hard to churn the ocean of milk, but the thing came, first thing came out was this thick halahala poison. It was such a heavy poison that it didn't, even a little bit can destroy like all life in the creation if it was allowed to spread. It was actually really, really super powerful poison. So Prabhupada explains how as long as we are striving for the nectar of this world, we will never get the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of nectar of devotion. It's too different, it's like day and night. As long as we want things of this world, we cannot experience the real thing, the spiritual experience. So as they churned, the first thing that came out was this thick poison. Very similar to the scientists of this modern day. We try to solve one problem with a solution, but the solution becomes worse than the original problem. There's so many examples of this. How, you know, you don't have to be a scientist nowadays to know what I'm talking about. There's so many, even small examples like, you know, even such small thing like you take medication for headaches. We have Sri Vallabha Prabhu here, our naturopath alternative doctor. He can tell us more. You take medication for headache, sure your headache goes away, but then you get cancer. This is just a small example. We created so much heat, so we created this air conditioning. And then the freon destroys this ozone. Millions and billions of people trying to fight off heat. They're making a big hole in the ozone, then everybody gets skin cancer. There's so many things. We're trying to churn nectar, but then the result is that the poison is coming out. So the demigods and the demons, they didn't know how to deal with this. It was beyond their powers. Just like in this world, we create something, but then we realize this is beyond our powers. Just like these atomic weapons. There's so many atomic weapons everywhere, and they're not exactly in the hands of saintly people. Anybody could decide to press a button any day. But then this is something, we created a monster, then it's becoming a threat for ourselves. So similarly, the poison came out from the churning of the ocean of nectar, and Vishnu, to glorify his devotee, Lord Shiva, asked the demigods to approach him. Just like in the Gita, we see Arjuna was actually the hero of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna made it such a way that the devotee gets credit. Krishna is so detached from all this fame and credit. So when they approached him, Lord Shiva, being compassionate to all living entities, concentrated all this poison into his palm full and he drank it. And then Parvati, Shiva's wife, actually choked him so the poison wouldn't go inside. And it stayed there. That's why he's actually glorified as Nilakant, the one with the beautiful blue throat. Prabhupada used to say many people smoke ganja because Lord Shiva smokes ganja. But Prabhupada said, if you can drink ocean of poison, then you can also drink smoke ganja. If you can't drink the ocean of poison, then don't smoke ganja. Prabhupada also said many people want to imitate Krishna and do rasa dance. Prabhupada said, can you lift Govardhan Hill? And Prabhupada actually said in one lecture, everybody want to be, Gopi Jana Vallabha. Everybody wants this position of Gopi Jana Vallabha, enjoying with the gopis. But nobody wants to be Giri Varadhari. Nobody can lift, you know, Giri Govardhan. So this is the position we are imitating. But it's not possible to imitate such great personalities. So this way, the Bhagavatam explained how Shiva actually took a position, such even looks like very risky situation, to actually help and save all the conditioned souls from this dangerous situation. Nilakant. I actually saw one cartoon, BP, the British Petroleum people are approaching Lord Shiva and they're showing him this ocean of oil spill and they're begging him, like, can you do something about this? He said, no, this is ridiculous. Don't involve me in this. They were hoping that, you know, he would clean up or something. So this is the kind of, we bring him down to really like low level. But this is not proper, because the best thing to ask Lord Shiva, the Vedas explain, is to ask him for pure love for God, Krishna Prema. And Lord Shiva, being the greatest devotee, Mahajan, he can actually give us that. Actually, it's explained that the only thing that Lord Shiva wants to give us is that, is love for God. I mean, he's living his life, that itself is a proof. He doesn't have a house, he doesn't wear fancy clothes. He's living in the crematorium covered with ashes. And then we go to him and ask for a house and clothes and jewelry and sex and all these things. He's like showing by his lifestyle, you know, this is not worth it. It says he's always in the crematorium because when they burn the dead body to ashes, traditionally the Sahasranam, the thousand names of Vishnu, is being chanted. So in the crematorium, there's always dead bodies are being burnt and always the chanting is going on. So he's always there, relishing the holy names of Vishnu. So this is the actual thing to ask. Also in the same Sahasranam, the thousand names of Vishnu, Parvati actually asks Lord Shiva, what about, it takes about 40 minutes to chant Sahasranam, what about if somebody doesn't have 40 minutes? Parvati being the mother, compassionate to all these rascals of Kali Yuga. He said, what about if somebody doesn't have 40 minutes? Lord Shiva says, Sri Rama Rama Rameti Rame Rame Manorame Sarsranama Tatulyam Rama Nama Varanane. He says, even if somebody just chants Lord Ram's name once, then it's sufficient. It's as good as chanting 1,000 names of Vishnu. And also, Parvati asked in another occasion about what's the best thing somebody can do in the human form of life. And Lord Shiva replies saying, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samachan. Lord Shiva says, of all worship, the best is Vishnur Aradhanam. The best is worship of the Supreme Personality of God, Vishnu. But if you want to even go higher than that, Tadiyanam Samachanam. He says, better than worshipping Vishnu is anything connected to Vishnu or the servants of Vishnu. So worshipping the servants of Vishnu is actually better than worshipping Vishnu directly or Krishna directly. That's the reason we're worshipping Lord Shiva. So this way, we can understand a lot by this lifestyle and teachings of Lord Shiva. If we actually understand the essence of the life and teachings of Lord Shiva, we will be renounced and we will be compassionate and we will always strive to love Krishna. This is as simple as that. This is the only thing Lord Shiva wants to give us and teach us. Compassion. Because there's nothing more pleasing to Krishna than to show compassion for those who are suffering. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Krishna actually says, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead is full of all opulences, but He is lacking something. Can you imagine the Supreme Personality of Godhead says He is lacking something? He says that He is lacking the love of few of the conditioned souls. Because most people out there, you know, they don't have any love for God. And Krishna does not force anyone to love Him. He gives them independence. So therefore, people are like living in a dream-like existence, thinking like there's no supreme, you know, protect the dogs and kill the cows. So many things going on, misconception in the name of freedom and science and advancement and culture. So Krishna does not force us to love Him. So any of us, on behalf of Krishna, we inspire people to love Him and serve Him, then we become most dear to Lord Shiva. We become most dear to Lord Krishna. This is actually a very thankless task, but this is actually the most needed in this day and age. Srila Prabhupada's teacher, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he used to say, the real help is to help the soul. Because the soul is the real deal. If somebody is drowning in an ocean or in a pool, and then you jump, and then you bring their coat out, and then you say, I saved this person. The real person is drowning, but then you saved his coat or jacket. Similarly, the soul is the real person, but everybody wants to feed the body and give medication to the body and clothe the body in the name of health. We're not against it, but that's not everything. In Krishna consciousness, we take care of people, we feed thousands of people, we give shelter, we give it. But the real stress is given, the importance is given to help the soul. To help the soul, because the soul, being part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, For the soul to go through repeated birth, death, disease and old age is actually a very foreign thing. It's actually a very painful situation. So to really help someone means to save their soul from this repeated birth and death. It's called samsara. This repeated birth and death, nobody is able to solve it. No matter how advanced we are in science, nobody even knows about consciousness. Everybody thinks we are like a bag of chemicals. We came by through some accident and then when we die, everything is finished. My teacher, my guru, he was speaking in New Zealand recently and there was actually one atheist in the room. And he was challenging my guru saying like everything is a bag of chemicals, we are a bag of chemicals. So my guru was telling him like if I poured some dishwashing liquid in a sink, it doesn't protest. So if I were to shove you down the toilet, will you protest? He said, yes, of course I will. He said, you shouldn't, right? We're just a bag of chemicals. Why is chemicals protesting and why is it taking them seriously? Everybody's talking like we are chemical, but we don't act like we are chemicals. Because we are conscious, everybody knows that. But then there's so many misconceptions. It's actually called Maya. So because of this Maya, because of this matrix of illusion, everybody is full of material desires, which is pushing the wheel of repeated birth and death, old age and disease. So the real help is to free somebody from these material desires, free someone from this birth, death, old age, disease, and bring them to the light, bring them to the real understanding, real goal of life, namely love for God. So this is actually very pleasing to all the saints and sages, especially very pleasing to Lord Shiva. So Srila Prabhupada has done that. Is given something very, very extraordinary. So we have these books. We have these books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, like this. And just by reading one small book cover to cover, we can actually understand all these things we are talking about. How to become actually happy. How to actually become enlightened. It's actually very easy. These books are like GPS. It shows us directions. So we request all of you that, you know, tonight we gave away so many Bhagavad Gitas. You can take home and read them. Especially the second chapter is the summary of the book. And we are also distributing thousands of Bhagavad Gitas on a regular basis to people and trying to educate them and bring them to light. So if any of you want to take some Gitas and share with your colleagues and friends in school, please do so. Or if you want to sponsor Bhagavad Gitas, then we can distribute them on your behalf. Recently I heard somebody was saying that, Madhukiran was actually saying that if you distribute one Bhagavad Gita, that's actually giving as good as giving 10,000 cows in charity. So can you imagine the blessings and benefit? So thank you all for your kind attention. Now is the very beautiful ceremony of bathing Lord Shiva. And after that we have dinner, prasadam. Sorry? The line is going to start from this direction. Actually, unfortunately, we don't have time for questions because of the schedule. But I'm outside in the table if anybody wants to ask me questions later. Hare Krishna. Mahadev ki jai. Lord Shiva ki jai.
Hare Krishna, we need two strong men to move the Vyasa to the other side first.